A number of years ago, I was doing ministry with a layperson who had extraordinary gifts of evangelization and discipleship. This man was on fire for Jesus, newly married, and he just had a great gift to draw people into intentional relationship with the Lord in and through his ministry. And then years go by, and I get ordained, and we just haven't seen each other in a long time. And in recent years, we reconnected. And when we reconnected, we were catching up with each other, and he began to vent to me, and he said he's really struggling in this season of his life, specifically in this season of his marriage. And he revealed to me that he's been unfaithful. He's been unfaithful to his vows. And I was kind of taken aback, because from what I knew of this man, he was just always so rooted in the Lord and rooted in the church and rooted in his vocation. And so I just asked him what was going on, and he mentioned how dry their marriage had become and how busy life had become with the kids and with work, and it just wasn't the same. And so all of a sudden he started looking elsewhere, and I said, well, tell me, how's your prayer? How's your prayer right now? And he said, it's good. I said, your prayer is good. I said, so you're telling me that you're unfaithful to your vows of marriage and your prayer is good. So, like, what is your prayer like? Like, tell me about your prayer, because I don't think that they're going together right now. And he said, I mean, I pray all day. I said, okay. So you pray all day. He said, yeah, I pray at work. I pray on my way to work. I'm away from work. I pray when I'm doing stuff. I mean, I'm talking to God all day long. I said, and that's good. That is prayer. But, like, would you say, like, if you combine, like, if you pray, like, 20 minutes a day? He's like, yeah, I guess if you combine it all total, that's, like, 20 minutes consistently. Or if you just add up every conversation you have with God throughout the day, it would be 20 minutes. He said, probably if I add it up all day long, it would be 20 minutes total. And I said to him, yeah, man, I got to be honest with you. Your prayer life stinks right now. Your prayer life is really bad. That's not good prayer. That's not good prayer that's happening right now. And how can I say that? Does that sound judgmental? Father Josh is saying someone's prayer is not good prayer? Yeah, it's not good prayer. Because good prayer is prayer that is intentional and that is focused on the face of Jesus. Good prayer cultivates a relationship with Jesus where we look at his face and we listen to his voice. It's not just a prayer before and after a meal. It's not just a prayer saying, thank you, Jesus, for my day today. It's not just praying on my way to work and from work. Should we do all those things? Yes. But if I'm just praying whenever I'm driving to and from work, then I'm not really focusing solely on the face of Jesus. Because I'm focusing on the road. I'm focusing on traffic. I'm focusing on the cars around me. If I'm just praying whenever I'm cooking, I'm not focused totally on Jesus. Because I'm worrying about the stove and the oven and every detail about what I'm cooking. If I'm just praying whenever I'm doing my duties in life, then I'm not totally fixing my eyes on the face of Jesus and opening my ears to hear the voice of Jesus. That is not good prayer. Should we pray while we're working? Yes. Should we pray on our way to and from work? Yes. Should we pray before and after meals? Yes. But we should not limit our prayer to that. Our prayer should be so much more. God wants us to be in relationship with him. It is possible to be in the presence of God and to not focus on God. It's possible to be in God's presence when we're driving, but to not be totally fixed on him. It's possible to be in God's presence when we're working, but to not be totally fixed on him. And then sometimes we do give God consistent time. But instead of fixing our eyes on God in that consistent time of 15, 20, 30 minutes, maybe an hour, we're focusing on our difficult marriage the entire time. We're not looking at Jesus, though we're in his presence. We're looking at this difficult marriage, this dry season of marriage. Or we're in a difficult friendship right now, and it's really dry, and it's not going well, and we're not connecting with each other. And instead of focusing on Jesus, we're looking at the friendship for an hour. Or instead of focusing on Jesus, we're looking at our ministry and all the obstacles that are coming in our way in our ministry, and we're worried about our ministry. Instead of looking at Jesus, we spend our time in prayer focusing on our duties at work and the new responsibilities we've been given and all the stressors. We're in the presence of Jesus in prayer, but we're not looking at Him in prayer. We're looking at these passing things and people, and all of a sudden we're filled with fear. We're filled with fear. Is my marriage always going to look this way? Is the rest of my marriage going to be this dry? Are we not going to be connecting for the rest of our marriage? Is my friendship with this particular person always going to be this difficult? Are we always going to be misunderstanding each other and miscommunicating with each other? Is my job task before me at work always going to be this demanding? Is my ministry always going to be so hard? And that gives us fear. And fear leads to anxiety. And what follows anxiety is we detach from our calling. We detach from our vocation to be a faithful friend. We detach from our vocation to be a faithful spouse. We detach from our vocation to be a faithful co-worker, a minister. We flee from it. All because we're not praying well. If this is you, this is any of us, I want you to know you're not alone. One of the greatest saints in the history of the church struggled with being present to God while he was in the presence of God. One of the greatest saints in the history of the church gave in the fear all throughout his walk toward eternity, which led him to experience anxiety, and then which led him to detach from Jesus on multiple occasions. But this man is one of our greatest canonized saints. I'm talking about Saint Peter from the Gospels, our first pope. Today's gospel, we hear the story about the call of Peter whenever he was out fishing and Jesus came to him. But the reality is that was not the first call of Peter to walk with Jesus. The first time that Peter followed Jesus was at the invitation of his brother Andrew. Remember, Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was here to prepare the way for the Lord. When John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And Andrew left John and began to follow Jesus. And after Andrew began to follow Jesus, he ran and got his brother Peter and said, "Peter, you got to follow this guy." And Peter became a disciple of Jesus. But then something happened, and Peter stopped following Jesus. Peter went back to his former way of life as a fisherman. What happened? Presumably what happened was that while Peter was in the presence of Jesus, that's relationship with Jesus, that's prayer, while he was in the presence of Jesus, he took his eyes off of Jesus and began to focus on John the Baptist and all the terrible things that were happening to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was being persecuted for preparing the way for God. John the Baptist was in prison. John the Baptist was suffering. John the Baptist was beheaded. This must have caused Peter to become fearful. Is this going to happen to me? If I stay close to Jesus, who John was preparing the way for, if I stay close to this Lamb of God, does that mean I'm going to suffer that way also? Am I going to go to prison? Am I going to be persecuted? Am I going to be beheaded? He's now filled with anxiety. And what does he do? He stops following Jesus because during his time of prayer, he was focused on something and someone else. And then Jesus comes after him. Christ is relentless. Christ pursues him. Christ calls him to follow him again and to no longer fish after these animals, but to fish after men. Peter follows Jesus, and then Jesus invites him to get out of the boat and to do something that seemed impossible, to walk on water. Peter had his eyes on Jesus. He heard the voice of Jesus, and he walked on water. There was a storm going all around Peter, and eventually Peter did what? He didn't just acknowledge the storm, which is okay to acknowledge it, but he began to dwell on the storm. And when he dwelled on the storm around him, though he was in the presence of Jesus, that's prayer, he was no longer focused on Jesus. He's now focused on the troublesome storm around him. He's afraid. His fear leads to anxiety. His anxiety leads to him falling away from Christ. How many of us do this? Christ calls us to do something in our marriage that seems impossible according to human standards. Christ calls us to do something for a friend that seems impossible. Christ calls us to a ministry that on the human level cannot be done. But with God's grace, nothing is impossible for Jesus to do in and through us. And all of a sudden we stop looking at Jesus and we start looking at the issues and the problems. And then what happens? We too become fearful, anxious, and we fall away. So Peter falls and he cries out, "Jesus, save me." Jesus saves him. And Peter begins to walk with Christ again. And now Jesus invites Peter to the Garden of Gethsemane. "Will you pray with me for 1 hour, Peter?" "Yeah, Jesus, I'll pray for 1 hour." And while Peter's in there praying in the presence of Jesus, some guards come with Judas who betrays Jesus. Peter becomes afraid. Because once again, he's in the presence of God, but he's not looking at God. He's looking at the guards. And so what does Peter do? He abandons Jesus with all the apostles. But then he comes back. Peter comes back. And when he comes back, he's once again in the presence of Jesus. As Jesus is being mocked and beaten, and people begin to whisper and say, "Isn't that one of his followers? Isn't he the one, the disciple of Jesus?" And instead of looking at Jesus in the midst of the distractions that were coming from without, instead of keeping his eyes fixed on Jesus, he began to entertain the other voices of accusation, of discouragement. And he looked at those people. He's no longer looking at Jesus. He engaged those people in conversation. He focused on them. And once again, he became fearful, anxious, and he denied Christ 3 times and left him again. Many of us do this. We go into prayer, and instead of fixing our eyes on Jesus, we fix our eyes on people and places and things and our problems. And when we do that, if we do that, we will become afraid. Our fear will lead us to anxiety. Our anxiety will lead us to walk away from our vocation, from fidelity to our work, our ministry, our friendships, and our marriages. Jesus is inviting us to cultivate authentic prayer. Authentic prayer where we are focused on Him. Because when we're focused on Him, what happens is we become like Him. The greatest saints teach us that prayer suppresses vices. Authentic prayer suppresses vices. Authentic prayer is focused on Jesus. Authentic prayer calls to mind our struggles in marriage and friendships and work and ministry and gives it to the Lord and then focuses on the Lord. When we focus on the Lord, we're able to receive from Him, think like Him, speak like Him, and act like Him. And the action of Christ is the action of fidelity. When it's difficult, when it's dry, when it's not fun, when it's hard, when it seems impossible, Christ was on the cross. That was not a fun experience for Jesus. It was painful. It was hard. He was alone. It was very difficult, but He remained faithful even whenever the other voices told Him to get off, because He remained faithful to communion with God His Father the entire time He was on the cross. He did not dwell on the voices around Him. He did not dwell on His circumstance. He dwelled on the face of God His Father. And for us, Jesus is the face of the Father. And He's the one who's inviting us to remain faithful to Him. So how do we do this? How do we engage in good prayer? In prayer that is not neglecting Jesus. If you're anything like me, and because I'm your spiritual father and you're my spiritual sons and daughters, I presume you're something like me a little bit, right? Sometimes I go into prayer, and when I'm in prayer, I start off really good, and then all of a sudden, I go from like meditating on Jesus to like daydreaming about being a wrestler. You know, I'm like, how many of y'all want to be wrestlers, huh? I daydream about like my wrestling, and it's good stuff, right? Like I daydream my finisher would be the crucifix. That's the name of it. And so like I'll pick Deacon JR up, and I'll extend his arms, and I'll throw him like this, and I'll slam him on the mat, and then all of a sudden, like, I'm in prayer. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not prayer. That's daydreaming, right? it becomes difficult. It's a battle sometimes. So what can we do to remain faithful to the face of Jesus and to not get distracted by these passing things in our imagination, by these passing worries of our ministry, our relationships, our work? I propose for some of us what might be helpful is to, on and off during our periods of prayer, our intentional periods of prayer. And again, I'm not saying we can't pray when we go to and from work. We can, but we should not limit our prayer to that, because we can't be totally focused on Jesus if we do that. But in that time that we set apart to be totally focused on Jesus, pray out loud. Pray out loud. Speak the word of God out loud. Share your heart with Jesus out loud, so we know what we're saying when we're saying, and we're not going to give away to distractions. Focus on the words of the scriptures. Proclaim that word out loud, because the enemy's going to come and the enemy's going to taunt us and distract us and discourage us and accuse us that we're not good enough for our marriage or for our ministry or for our work or for our friendships. He's going to say, you can't do it. And when he says that, we might begin to entertain him, but if we speak the word of God out loud, we're not thinking about the enemy, we're thinking about Jesus. To speak his word. That's what he did. Whenever Jesus Christ was in the desert after his baptism, he's praying and fasting 40 days, nights. And who comes to be with him? Satan. And what did Satan do? He tempted him with suggestions. And what did Jesus do when Satan was whispering in his ear? He did not look at him one time. He looked at the word of God and began to proclaim the scriptures out loud. He spoke the word of God out loud, and the devil went away. Whenever we're giving into these temptations from the enemy about our vocations, about our callings, about our work, about our ministry, proclaim his word out loud. Share your heart. Jesus, I'm really struggling with my ministry right now. I'm really struggling with my marriage. I'm really struggling with this friendship. I'm really struggling at work. And then go to the word and speak the word. And then sit in silence for a few minutes and then go back to the word and speak the word, so the enemy cannot come and distract. If our prayer life is the recitation of the Holy Rosary, then don't pray the rosary in silence, but pray it out loud. Reflect on the scriptures out loud. When we pray the rosary, pray it very slowly. Don't say, Hail Mary, for the grace of the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. What do we do when we do that, right? That's vain repetition. Pray it slowly. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, who when tempted by Satan, while praying in the desert, did not focus on the voice of Satan, but focused on the word of God and spoke the word of God out loud. Jesus, give me the grace to imitate you when I'm in prayer and when I am being tempted to focus on my ministry or my work or my relationships. Give me the grace to imitate you, Jesus, and speak your word out loud. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. If music is the way that we pray, whether it's praise and worship music or gospel music or Gregorian chant, whatever it is, when we're listening to the music, don't just listen to the music, but sing those words out loud. Unless somebody's around you and you can't sing well, then don't sing out loud. Some of you in this church cannot sing well, but it's okay. Jesus is delighted that you sing to him anyway. All right? I can't sing well either. I sing in the office. Is Mr. Allard at this mass today? Or is he at the 11 o'clock coming up next? He must be at the 11 o'clock. So I always sing to my staff in the office. And one thing that we do is Susan here today? I don't know. Micah, is your mama here today? She's at the next mass? Okay, so one thing I do for Susan is she sits at her desk because she's very diligent with her work. And I go and I start singing behind her and we play the voice. And if I do okay, she'll turn around. And if I do really bad, she'll turn around just to shut me up. So I know I can't sing as well. But still, right, so if you're by yourself, right, sing those words out loud. Proclaim the word of God in song out loud. When we sing, we pray twice. So we can know what we're doing, so we can fix our eyes on Jesus during our time in prayer and not focus on the passing struggles in the current season of our life. When we focus on Jesus in prayer, on his face, on his voice, on his word, when we're present to Jesus, while in the presence of Jesus, we are able to imitate Jesus, who was faithful to his cross. And if we can be faithful to our time with Jesus in prayer, then we will be able to manifest the virtue of fidelity to him in the midst of our crosses and our walk toward eternity. So my invitation this week is, when we pray on our consistent prayer time, in our home or at church or wherever it is, where it's more than just a few minutes, 15, 20, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever we can give him, spend some of that time praying out loud to combat the distractions around us, to remain faithful to his face in prayer, so that by remaining faithful to his face in prayer, we can remain faithful to the task he has called us to do in our walk toward eternity.
Amen.